Good afternoon, everyone here at our headquarters and out there on the phone. It's my pleasure to welcome you to our 2012 results meeting. With us today is Mark Schneider, CEO of Fresenius, and Stefan Sturm, CFO. And we have here Rhys Powell, CEO of Fresenius Medical Care, Mike Grostem, CFO, and Oliver Meyer, Head of IR. Before we get started, I'd like to remind you of the forward-looking statement disclosure. You can find that in the presentations and in our today's investor news. And this cautionary language also applies to the speeches and to the Q&A session of today. I also have to remind you that this conference will be recorded. And we kindly ask you to dial in via landlines for those who are on the phone and do not use headset to ensure good quality transmission. Just briefly on our agenda, we are now starting with a Fresenius meeting. Mark Schneider will give you a general overview and Stefan Sturm will take care on the financials. After the break, we have the Fresenius Medical Care presentations and end of conference is scheduled for about 4:45. And with that, I'd like to hand it over to Mark. Mark, please.
Thank you, Birgit, and a warm welcome to our analyst meeting participants today. As always, we appreciate your presence and your interest in our company. Birgit has pointed out the safe harbor statement to you, so let's cut to the chase and go to page 3. As you know, we're in the middle of our centennial year, so I would like to start today's presentation with a brief overview of our 100 years in healthcare and our contributions to healthcare over that period. What you see here on the timeline at the middle of the slide is some of the major milestones when it comes to group turnover. As you can see, we crossed the 1 billion mark in 1994. We broke the 10 billion euro barrier in 2006, and we're attempting to cross the 20 billion euro barrier in 2013. Above and below the timeline, you see some of the key decisions in that period, including the establishment of our four present business units, Fresenius Medical Care, Fresenius Kabi, Fresenius Helios, and Fresenius Vamed. So it's been a rewarding period, and moving to the last decade, I think we continued some of the dynamic growth over that 25-year period that really propelled the company from a small to mid-sized German enterprise to a global healthcare group. You see here that our sales over the last decade essentially tripled, and our net income in that same period increased about eightfold. Compound annual growth rate for that 10-year period for sales was 12%. For net income, it was 26%. In addition to the fact that those are fairly steep inclines, I'd like to point out the enormous consistency of our development in sales and earnings, essentially building on that 2003 base. Year after year, nine times, we've been basically putting in record years when it comes to our financial results. 2012, that centennial year, I think is another record year in line with that history. We set new sales and earnings records. We came in at 70% net income growth in constant currency, so slightly topped our guidance that we had adjusted several times during the year. Over and above that, we also saw double-digit sales and earnings growth for each of our business segments. That's pretty unusual. That's not something we've seen regularly in the past, and that really points out how sustainable and even our development across the group is. Each of our business segments also shouldered pretty significant acquisition and integration jobs in 2012. Liberty Dialysis for Fresenius Medical Care, Fenwall for Fresenius Kabi, Damp Group for Helios, and HC Hospital Consulting for Vamed. And I think as a result of these major steps, we're looking back now and we're seeing fairly significantly strengthened market positions for each of these four business segments. In addition to that, towards the end of last year and earlier this year, 2013, we did some pretty successful refinancing steps that helped to reduce interest cost and also improve our maturity profile going forward. So we're taking advantage of the pretty favorable refinancing environment we're seeing presently, but also of our successful financial development, which I think got rewarded here by our debt investors. Turning now to the financial results in more detail for the group and for the business segments, let me point out in all modesty, every growth rate you're seeing on this slide and the next slide is going to be double digit. So we came in with sales of 19 billion 290 million euros. That's a 13% increase in constant currency. EBIT was 3 billion and 75 million euros. That's a 14% increase in constant currency. And net income was 938 million euros. That's a 17% increase in constant currency. Stefan will elaborate on the currency development last year. The actual currency growth rates are about 5 to 6 percentage points higher because of a favorable currency development, in particular from the US dollar in 2012. This is what I was alluding to earlier, turning to page 7. This is our development by business segment for sales and EBIT. Everything double-digit. Again, we've seen years in the past where either sales or EBIT was double-digit across the board. We've never done it for both of them, for all four business segments. Standing out, second year in a row was Helios. Sales growth was 20% and EBIT growth was 19%. The EBIT growth last year for 2011 was also leading the pack with 15% at the time. So we're seeing now the second year of pretty solid double-digit earnings growth for Helios. And as I will turn to the guidance later, you will see that that double-digit growth is going to continue according to our expectations. So very strong set of years for Helios, driven by very solid organic fundamentals, starting with organic growth and also margin improvement. And on top of that, of course, the significant acquisition and integration activity that started in the fall of 2011 and basically went all throughout 12 and continues as we speak. I'd like to turn now to page 8 and our dividend proposal. We will propose to our shareholders in May the 20th consecutive dividend increase. It's going to be an increase by 16% to €1.10 per share. And with that, we'd also like to introduce a new dividend policy going forward. We'd like to link the dividend development going forward to our adjusted earnings per share development, which should keep our payout ratio in the range of about 20 to 25%. As you know, previously, our dividend growth was roughly half our adjusted earnings per share growth. So we're now basically putting forward the entire earnings growth to our shareholders. It's going to be a fairly simple formula. It'll allow you during the year pretty much to estimate, give or take a percent, where the dividend is going to come out after the year has concluded. And so it's as transparent as it gets. And at the same time, we believe that our cash flow development really allowed us to do this step without taking away from our growth prospects. On the right-hand side of this chart, you're seeing our total return picture for the last decade, because as you know, dividend is not the only thing. Share price development is the other important variable here when it comes to total return. Over that decade, we achieved a total return, assuming reinvested dividends, of slightly above 24%, and the comparable number for the DAX was about 10%. To put that in specific numbers, if you invested 1,000 euros with Fresenius at the end of 2002, that yielded about 8,600 euros at the end of 2012, and it yielded only about 2,600 euros at the end of 2012 for the DAX. So pretty strong outperformance, and again, driven by very solid organic activity, and on top of that, successful acquisition and integration activity at our firm. Moving on to the distribution and development of net income, as you know, one of our targets going back to the turn of the millennium, really, was to have a more even distribution of net income. This was a time when group net income was almost entirely driven by Fresenius Medical Care, and we had already improved on this goal throughout the last decade. But even based on the 2008 numbers, which were already quite even, I think we're seeing continued improvement. For the first time now in 2012, the share of net income that comes from Fresenius Medical Care is less than 30%, 29% to be precise, and you're seeing that's coming down from about 44% in 2008. I think that's a pretty significant development. It really makes our earnings picture much more resilient, and it was no small feat because at the very same time over that decade, Fresenius Medical Care's earnings developed very successfully, and essentially, as you can see from the right-hand side of this chart, they tripled to the level that we're seeing today. I would now like to move on to Kabi, Helios, and Vamed in more detail. Before I do that, let me briefly comment on Fresenius Medical Care. I have a lot of trust in the leadership team around Rhys Powell to tackle today's issues in dialysis and to propel the company going forward. I think they'll be doing a great job. I know there's a lot of uncertainty surrounding the reimbursement picture for dialysis in the North American market. This is clearly something that's outside of the company's control. It is not targeted at dialysis or at Fresenius Medical Care. It's simply part of the larger picture of budget uncertainty in North America that hopefully will get resolved as the year moves on. But I think if there's ever any moment to take a fundamental view on the growth prospects of a company and not to get distracted by day-to-day news, it is now. Because as I look around the world, as I look at every major geography, Fresenius Medical Care in dialysis is leading the pack, and the growth prospects for dialysis in the medium to long term are absolutely undiminished. And so if there's one company, if there's one leadership team that's well positioned to capitalize on that opportunity, it is Fresenius Medical Care. Of that, I'm absolutely convinced. Now, moving to Kabi. Kabi clearly was a success story in 2012. And looking back at not just 2012, but also the three-year period leading up to 2012, let's focus on the pie chart on the right-hand side, because essentially, in my opinion, that pie chart tells the story. First of all, for all of those of you that follow IMS data to the nth degree on injectable drugs, you see that this company is way more than North America and it's way more than injectable drugs. You see that we have a significant slice of sales, 30% coming from emerging markets, and that 43% are coming from Europe. Nonetheless, North America, with 27% of a share of sales, has been growing very successfully over the last 3 years. Our three-year CAGR was 15%. There, we clearly benefited from the drug shortage years, since those were really focused on 2010, 11, and 12. As you know, going into that period, what we led you to expect was about a 10% growth, so we clearly outperformed those expectations over that three-year period, and some of that was aided by the drug shortages. Nonetheless, it is important to point out that the emerging market situation is pretty much the same, with the exception that you're seeing a 14% CAGR over 3 years, with the exception that there are no signs of that slowing down going forward. So you have 30% of the company that essentially have been growing consistently in the double digits, not just for the last 3 years, but for the last decade, for the last 15 years, for the last 20 years. And all signs point to continued double-digit growth in that arena. Let me also comment on Europe. And let me say that the first time I ran into questions about the financial crisis in Europe and why that would wreck our growth prospects in Europe was in June 2010, during an investor conference at the time. Before that, this topic was absolutely silent. And yet, when you look back to that three-year period, 2010, 11, and 12, what we're seeing is a very healthy organic growth rate of 6% for Europe. To give you a point of reference, for the preceding period, for the preceding 5 years, 2005 through 2009, that growth was only 4%. So in fact, you know, at a time when it was pretty common and pretty popular to trash Europe, we've been doing quite well in that region. We've been growing faster than pretty much at any other point in the preceding decade. And there again, looking ahead, looking at 2013, looking at the midterm, I think we have good reasons for cautious optimism and continuing on that growth path that we have seen here. So that's the picture. I think we're building on a very successful three-year period, and I'll show you later why I believe there's plenty of bounds in the company when it comes to Kabi's growth prospects going forward. Turning to slide 11, let me give you a brief update regarding two recent FDA inspections at our plants. First, Grand Island, our Finnish dose plant in upstate New York. As you know, we received a warning letter for this plant last February, going back to an FDA inspection in the summer of 2011. Another FDA inspection was performed between December 2012 and January of this year. While clearly a lot of work has gone into remediating the issues that were brought up by the FDA previously, we received a Form 483 with 8 observations. The FDA investigators stated that 4 of them are repeat observations from the 2011 audit. In terms of content, the observations relate broadly to timeliness and completeness of investigations and other reports, the operating environment in non-aseptic areas, and employee training. Production at the plant is continuing, and we will work closely with the FDA to address these issues promptly and to the FDA's complete satisfaction. Next, Kalyani, India, one of our API plants with annual sales of less than 40 million euros. Only active pharmaceutical ingredients that are used in making finished products are made in Kalyani. These products are called APIs. APIs are tested by manufacturers of finished products prior to use and release of the finished product to ensure that the finished product meets all specifications. The plant was inspected this January and we received a Form 483 with 9 observations. While the API products released by the plant, to our best knowledge, conform to all specifications, the inspection revealed that several GMP non-conformities occurred, including improper in-process product testing of APIs. We believe, however, that all finished product testing was correctly performed. We also saw employee misconduct in connection with this audit. There was a clear violation of our corporate code of conduct and led to the immediate suspension of the employees and executives involved with this at the plant. As a precautionary measure, we have put production on hold and will only restart when we're confident that the facility's processes meet GMP standards. We have informed FDA we will not resume manufacturing for the US market without informing FDA in advance. We're working with FDA in this matter and have dedicated significant resources to remediate this as quickly as possible. In our assessment, the situation at both plants did not put patients at risk. Nonetheless, we take both situations very seriously and we're totally committed to meeting FDA's expectations. As Stefan will explain later, the expected cost of addressing both situations, a double-digit million euro amount, is fully reflected in our 2013 EBIT margin guidance. While it is unfortunate that we were not able to live up to our quality expectations in these two cases, I want to assure everyone about our unwavering quality commitment. Several other audits, including a very recent FDA inspection of our important Melrose Park, US facility, concluded with 0 observations, which underlines our dedication to product quality and meeting the FDA's expectations. Moving on to slide 15, let me address one common question that we received over the last 2 months or so as people are focusing on the drug shortage situation in the US, and that is, if expectations are that the drug shortage situation is going to ease, how does that impact Kabi's growth prospects going forward? The purpose of this slide is essentially to show you that there's plenty of bounce in Kabi left. And so let me start at the bottom by very strongly confirming the target that we have laid out to you as part of our Capital Market Day last summer, and that is that we're shooting for about 6 billion euros of sales and more than 1.1 billion euros of EBIT by the year 2015. What you're seeing above is essentially the four pillars of growth that we believe that this target is resting on. Clearly, first and foremost, the dynamic emerging market growth. I elaborated on that earlier. Second, the robust pipeline that we have. Remember, we're still in the middle of the patent cliff as we're trying to capitalize on opportunities that are offered to us by patent expirations. Third, the geographic product rollout. As you look at most of Kabi's geographies, depending on what product group we started with, they're still pretty much weighted towards one or the other. So when you take Asia, for most of these markets, we tend to lead with nutritional products, but we have plenty of upside when it comes to infusion solutions and some of the IV drugs and medical devices. When you look at Latin America, for example, that was a market where we were historically quite strong in infusion solutions, but that means we have catch-up opportunities in medical nutrition and also, again, in devices and IV drugs. So the geographic evening of our product profile is certainly one growth pillar that builds towards that 2015 target. And the third one is our medical devices expansion. I think Fenwal is the first step. There's also plenty of organic initiatives as we roll out medical devices and grow that into a strong fourth product segment at Kabi. So in summary, I think we're entering 2013 with confidence that we're building towards that 2015 target. Yes, you see the easing of the drug shortage reflected in organic growth guidance, but nonetheless, I think we have plenty other resources to make up for that. Moving now to page 16 and Helios. As mentioned earlier, a very strong year for Helios. I'm quite excited about how the company has done, both on the sales development, on integration activity, and on EBIT margin development. I'm also proud that 2012 was a year where we improved on our medical targets and also once again set new standards when it comes to transparency on medical issues. In this case, for example, we're the first company that is issuing a hygiene report where you can download the hygiene situation for each of our hospital facilities in Germany. 2012 was also a year where deal volume in the privatization market revived. We achieved 660 million euros in Germany. That's pretty much back to pre-crisis levels, so to some of the good years we've seen in 2006 and 2007. And I think it should put to rest some of the concerns that we had seen in 2009 and 2010 about the privatization market. With this, let me move on to page 17 and Vamed. Vamed also had a banner year with double-digit growth for sales and EBIT. And as you can see on the right-hand side, that's really building on a decade of success. As you look at those growth rates, keep in mind that most of that growth was achieved organically because Vamed was certainly the one company in our portfolio that used M&A very sparingly. And yet you're seeing a solid double-digit growth for both sales and earnings. We achieved a larger share of revenue coming from the service business, which is good news because that's less volatile. And we also expanded our geographic presence. We were entering two new key European markets, that's Switzerland and Italy, and also two Latin American markets. We'd also like to confirm for Vamed that we're fully on track for our 2014 revenue target of more than 1 billion euros of revenue. With this, and before handing it over to Stefan, let me just build on the slide that finished off the Kabi part of the presentation and really address the whole growth picture for the group, because just like we were getting these questions for Kabi, we were getting questions for the group. People saw uncertainties about the dialysis reimbursement in the U.S., and they saw the easing of drug shortages. And hence, just like for Kabi, I think it is important for the group to reiterate where some of the growth is coming from, both for revenues and earnings, as we enter 2013. So here you have five issues to remind you of that I think are key and that really our optimism is resting on. For Kabi, it's the fact that even in an environment where organic growth is only going to be 3 to 5%, by integrating and first-time consolidating Fenwal, we will be solidly in the double digit when it comes to revenue growth. We were always pretty clear in the past that the Kabi growth strategy rests on both organic growth and successful M&A activity. So if 2012 was an organic year, 2013 clearly is an M&A year where the deal is already done and all we need to do is now integrate it and really lead it to the targets that we've given out to you. Moving on to Helios, I think there we're seeing continued upside from the dump margin improvement as we integrate that business. And we are also putting in place some of the integrated care offerings that we had developed surrounding the attempted Ruin transaction. Looking at this in hindsight, we saw that some of these strategies can also implement it standalone. And so we'll focus on that and basically roll out some growth initiatives that may not be a big revenue contributor this year, but nonetheless, that will get us started, and in the future, they will augment our organic growth. The double-digit emerging market growth continues, and we believe that our old 2013 target has already been achieved early now, and so we're looking for new targets in the emerging market arena. That really applies to FMC, it applies to Kabi, and it applies to Vamed. Those are the three business units that are really well positioned to capitalize on the emerging market opportunity. We will be seeing upside to our earnings from the biotech decision that was announced in December, and also upside to our earnings from some of the successful refinancings we've done in December and January. And last but not least, we are also seeing a promising pipeline of small to mid-sized transactions across the board that should be quite accretive in 13 and 14. So with that, as I said, plenty of bounce left in Kabi, plenty of bounce left in the group, and we're entering 13 with confidence, and we can back up the guidance that Stefan is going to elaborate later on with a lot of confidence as we start into this year. With that, let me hand it over to Stefan.
Thank you, Mark. Good afternoon. Good morning to the Americas. Welcome. First, my highlights for 2012. Then, a few details on the P&L with a particular focus on Q4, also on cash flow. And I'll conclude with comments on our guidance for our business segments as well as for the group. So on slide 17, we have what are, in my mind, the key achievements in 2012. Number one, net income growth of 17% at constant currency. And with that, we have exceeded our guidance and beaten consensus, despite a tough 2011 base. And we're not even talking about the five extra growth points from currency. Mind you, 2012 was the ninth consecutive year of double-digit net income growth. Secondly, our EBIT margin, which is up 40 basis points year on year to 15.9%, with double-digit EBIT growth, as Mark showed you, across all of our businesses. Thirdly, our cash flow, up a massive 750 million euros, and that lifted the margin by 240 basis points to 12.6%. CapEx, where we spent more than a billion euros on maintenance, but primarily on growth projects, to further enhance our position to capture the growth opportunities that do exist in the markets we're competing in. And as you know, beyond that, we even spent 3.2 billion euros on acquisitions to foster our strategic position. Notwithstanding that, given the strong cash flow generation, the capital increase for May, but also the substantial EBITDA growth, we succeeded in even lowering the leverage ratio from 2.8 to 2.6 times, and that gives us very meaningful financial headroom and therefore also strategic flexibility. Having said all that, You heard Mark, by no means have we run out of steam. And as Mark said, we believe that there are multiple sources of earnings growth, and therefore we enter 2013 with quite some confidence. We believe 2013 is going to be yet another record year. Those are the highlights. Let me now walk you down the group P&L on slide 18. Q4 2012 was the first 5 billion euro quarter as far as group sales are concerned. Organic growth picked up 2 points from Q3 for around 8%, with a strong performance across all of our businesses. Net acquisitions added another 7 points, just as in the third quarter, and therefore we had constant currency growth of 15%, ahead of the 13% for the full year that you see here on the slide. As projected, we saw much less of a currency tailwind in the fourth quarter. In fact, it seems the tide has turned here. So reported growth came in at 18%, in line with the growth rate for the full year. EBIT, that was 851 million euros in the fourth quarter, up 18% constant currency. Q4 margin of 16.4%, and that is up 30 basis points from the third quarter. Three out of our four businesses showed quarter-on-quarter increases, and in particular, Fresenius Medical Care more than offset the margin dilution at Kabi. That dilution is due to the first-time consolidation of Fenwal as from December. A strong Q4 with a margin of 16.4%, that took the full-year margin to 15.9%. Corporate EBIT came in at minus 17 million in the fourth quarter. That took the full year to minus 45. That is slightly more than I had expected, but we decided to clean up and accelerate some charges at Biotech. I'll come back to that later. Net interest was 186 million euros in Q4, and that is up 19 million from Q3. And key driver behind this increase was an 11 million euro non-cash charge. And that relates to the very successful refinancing of our credit agreement just before Christmas. And therefore, we wrote off all of the capitalized expenses related to it. So, on the one hand, the Q4 run rate is inflated because of this and other one-time effects, and therefore, please don't use it as a proxy for 2013. But on the other hand, we'll have a few one-timers also in this year. First and foremost, we had talked about that before, the 14 million euro charge related to the early redemption of the senior notes that were originally due in 2016. Net-net, the reduced running cost will more than offset those one-timers. And my full-year guidance for interest expense at this point is 600 to 620 million euros. Briefly on to taxes, where we were able to finalize some projects in the fourth quarter. That led to a single quarter tax rate of about 27%. That brought down the full-year tax rate to 29.1%. I don't think it's impossible, but I think it's unlikely that we'll be able to keep the tax rate at that level. So for modeling purposes, my advice is to use a rate of 30%. Finally, Q4 net income. That came in at 256 million euros, up 22% year-on-year at constant currency. And with that acceleration of net income growth, the full year increased by 17%, and therefore nicely ahead of our guidance. Excluded from the full year amount of 938 million euros are FMC's valuation gain, net of the Venofair charge and the ASN donation, plus the expenses related to our own bid. We have a fairly high threshold before we treat items as extraordinary. You will see that later on in my guidance comments. But here we felt it was appropriate. But even including all of the items that I just mentioned, net income growth for the full year is 15%. And so also on that basis, we made our guidance. For the avoidance of doubt, our net income growth guidance for 2013 is based on the higher number, on the 938 million euros. I'll come back to that later. Now, over to Kabi on slide 19. And there we had a strong finish to the year with a nice acceleration of organic sales growth, in particular in North America. At the bottom of the slide, you see that Q4 EBIT came in at 234 million euros, resulting in a margin of 19.9%. More than half of the roughly 2 points decrease from the third quarter is due to the consolidation of Fenwall as from December. But notwithstanding that, Kabi's full-year margin of 20.6%, that even slightly was ahead of the guidance we had provided earlier. Now let's move up and look at the individual regions. In Europe, we saw the predicted strong finish to the year, and 21% margin in Q4 took the full year to the 20% that I had flagged. For 2013, I'd expect a bit of margin erosion. However, on the back of continuing solid mid-single-digit organic growth. The Q4 margin in North America of 37.7%, that reflects primarily the Fenwall consolidation, but we also had in there some minor negative mix effects in our IV generics business. For 2013, I'd expect a margin in the mid-30s, excluding Fenwall, and at around 30%, including Fenwall. In the emerging markets, we saw margin stability, just above 21%, both for Q4 and for the full year, and a broadly stable margin, notwithstanding what was going round in the markets earlier about price cuts in China, is also what I'd expect for 2013. So the emerging markets will continue to grow faster than Europe at a higher margin than Europe. Those were my comments to Kabi. Let's move on to Helios and the development plan on slide 20. And on this slide, you will be able to see, give me a minute, that our Rhön bid did not impact Helios's 2012 performance whatsoever. So, as every year on this occasion, let's work this slide from right to left. In the total column, you see 397.5 million euros of reported EBITDA relative to the calculated 360.5 million euro target. So also for this year, mission accomplished. The development plan works. One column to the left, you see the mature portfolio, i.e. those hospitals that have been with us for more than 5 years. In that cluster, the margin has reached 17.5%, up 60 basis points year on year. And also the ratio of target achievers versus non-achievers has improved. It's now 19 out of the 31 hospitals relative to 15 out of 25 last year. And in the 5 years cluster, the average margin is 15.4%. Also there it works. 3 out of 4 hospitals made their target. And with that, the two columns combined, we're at 22 hospitals with a margin of 15% or more. I had told you a year ago that the aim for 2012 was to exceed 20. The 4 years cluster is 1 point short of its 12% target. On the other hand, 5 out of the 6 hospitals have made margin progress over the course of 2012. There's only one hospital in the 2 years cluster, that's Helmstedt. It's clearly ahead of the target level. In the 1 year cluster, Rottweil is ahead, Duisburg is behind the plan for the time being and very much in line with expectations. And the same applies to Dump, which is in the less than 1 year cluster. Also there, restructuring is largely behind us, and therefore the hospitals in these early development stages, they are a major source of earnings growth this year. Let's move on to cash flow on slide 21. Group operating cash flow, bottom left, reached €631 million in the fourth quarter. That's a margin of 12.2%, broadly in line with the 12.6 you see here for the full year. FMC was very steady on a very healthy level. Kabi at a more normalized 12.2% in the fourth quarter after the high inflows from Portugal and Spain in Q2 and Q3. Helios with slight progress, but DSOs still above 40 days. And the full-year margin also diluted by Duisburg and Dump. Vamed negative in the single quarter, given receivable build-up, but well under control. CapEx in the center columns, fairly steady at around 5% of sales, and therefore, bottom right, a free cash flow margin for the group of 7.7%. I'd like to take this opportunity to provide a longer-term view on cash flow and leverage, and that is on slide 22. And the key message on this slide is consistency. Consistency in cash generation and, as a consequence, a proven ability to delever. Top left, operating cash flow, very stable. Over all economic cycles, and through world financial crises, and by now with a clear aim to generate a double-digit margin. Bottom left, CapEx, consistently hovering around the 5% mark, but against the backdrop of a 12% sales CAGR. Top right, free cash flow, as a consequence of the first two, 5 to 7% of sales is what always seems to be achievable. Bottom right, leverage. And the chart here shows our ability to delever fast, decisively when it matters, and even in difficult times for the world economy, i.e. 2008-2009. It also indicates that we continue to believe that our shareholders are best served by us aiming for a leverage ratio between 2.5 and 3 times, with the flexibility to over or undershoot temporarily. That is where we believe we strike the right balance between strategic flexibility to pursue further growth options in our industry and minimizing our WACC. And given that we consistently work on both input factors into the net debt to EBITDA ratio, the numerator by generating free cash flow, the denominator by growing our EBITDA, we can by now afford even a mid to high triple-digit million euro acquisition amount without moving the leverage ratio. That takes us to the guidance for the business segment on this next slide, and I wanted to start with Fresenius Kabi. There, we expect organic sales growth in a range between 3 and 5%. If you look closer, that is a mix between a very solid growth expectation for the regions outside North America and a fairly conservative assumption for the US market. Now, you may recall that pre the acquisition of APP, i.e. pre the arrival of Kabi in the US, Kabi's organic growth guidance stood at 6 to 8%. And ever since we issued that guidance, Kabi has delivered on it. More recently, even more towards the upper end of that range. And also for 2013, notwithstanding that very strong base that we've built in these markets, we target organic growth in the upper half of that original range. Now, if you then back out of the 3 to 5% organic growth rate guidance for Kabi as a whole, what is implied for North America, you arrive at a slight to mid-single-digit negative growth rate assumption. That reflects our expectation that over the course of the year, at least gradually, we're going to see a normalization of the drug shortage phenomenon. It also reflects the very strong base that we have built ourselves with the growth rates that Mark alluded to as part of his presentation. Now, we have also chosen to complement our traditional organic growth rate guidance with a sales growth guidance in constant currency. That is due to the arrival of Fenwall to the group in last December and the disposal of a few non-core businesses, first and foremost the Kalea business, our French home care business, early this year. The net effect of these transactions, that is approximately 9 growth points, and therefore our sales growth guidance, including these acquisition disposal effects, comes in at 12 to 14%. Now, for EBIT, we expect a margin between 18 and 19%. And the key driver for the decrease relative to 2012 is a mix effect given the inclusion of Fenwall. And here, I'm only talking about the operating Fenwall effect prior to us fully capturing the synergy benefits that we do see over time as we alluded to them when we announced the Fenwall acquisition. Over and above these operating effects, we also have a total of $33 million of intangible amortization coming from the Fenwall acquisition. I know that we are fairly conservative in this respect. There are many other companies who choose to strip that factor outright from the beginning. We have chosen to include it, and that alone costs us, if you do the math, about half a margin point. In order to compare more apples with apples, we therefore have also provided you with a guidance excluding Fenwall. And there, as you can see, we expect the margin to track in the range between 19 and 20%. Both of these ranges include the FDA effect that Mark alluded to, where, as you heard, we do expect that taking care of these issues is a double-digit million euro amount, net of the book gain that we have realized on the disposal of our French home care business, Kalea. The net effect that we have factored in is up to 50 million euros. And even on that basis, we do expect at constant currency Kabi's EBIT 2013 to exceed the level of 2012. What is not part of this margin guidance is the one-time integration cost for Fenwal. And the assumption here remains unchanged, just as all the other assumptions vis-à-vis Fenwal from the time when we announced the acquisition. The total of the integration cost is still expected at 100 million euros pre-tax. However, relative to the time last summer, we have now more visibility and do believe that in 2013 we're only going to see about half of this overall charge, with the rest coming in 2014. Now, the synergy assumptions relative to these integration costs, they remain unchanged, also time-wise, and therefore, from an NPV perspective, that is actually good news. Let's continue with Helios, where on the back of a very strong 2012, we remain confident about our ability to generate organic growth in the very same 3-5% range that we had provided you in the last years. We have consistently delivered on that expectation, and we are full of confidence that this is also going to be possible in 2013. Now, when going through the development plan, I had already alluded to the fact that a major source of earnings growth is going to be the concluded restructuring, virtually concluded restructuring at Duisburg and Damp, and that therefore we're going to see a major swing, and that is not the only, but a key driver of the upgraded EBIT guidance, where relative to 322 million euros of EBIT last year, we expect 360 to 380 million for 2013. For Vamed, it doesn't look like it, but in reality, it is the very same 5 to 10% growth guidance for sales and EBIT as we had provided it also in the last years. The 8 to 12% that we're now showing for the top line, that is a reflection of an intra-group transaction that we have done. We have passed on the higher level upmarket maintenance and service business of Helios to the experts at Vamed. It is a revenue to the tune of 30 million euros. So it is about 3 growth points because it is going to be recognized as revenue at the Fresenius Vamed level. However, you will find the very same amount in the consolidation line in our group financial statements, where it's then going to be neutralized. So what, in a sense, from a group perspective, we're guiding to is 5 to 10%, when later on, over the course of the year, we're going to report sales at Fresenius Vamed, you will find a number that gradually, over the course of the year, is going to be inflated by that intra-group transaction. Before I turn it to the group, let me say that for Fresenius Biotech, we have assumed for 2013 an expense level in the mid-teens, i.e. approximately 15 million euros. As Mark said, we expect to reach a decision as to what exactly it is we want to do in the near future, with execution over the course of the summer. It is too early to say whether there is going to be a book gain that we will be able to realize. If there is one, it is not part of the group earnings guidance that we are providing here. For the group, if you take all this together and couple it with the outlook that Fresenius Medical Care is going to provide in half an hour or so, then you will arrive at a guidance of 7 to 10% constant currency top-line growth. As far as net income is concerned, we see more upside, and therefore 7 to 12% at constant currency is what we do expect. Over and above all the one-timers that arguably we have included in this guidance, most notably the Fenwal intangible amortization, which in itself costs us 2 growth points. We have also included 14 million euros as the charge for taking care of the senior notes, which were originally due 2016. What is also reflected in this guidance is the sequestration effect, where I'm sure Rhys and Mike will spend some time on as part of their presentation. But what they will tell you is that it's approximately $7 million per month as an effect. If you do the math, translate it into euros, do an after-tax, and also multiply it with our 31% stake, the overall effect also, in the best case, is only about 1 percentage point of growth, and therefore we're not going to revise our guidance if there is upside on the sequestration front. What we have not included is, and that is the only major item that is excluded from this earnings guidance, is, as announced last summer, the integration cost of Fenwal, excuse me, and that, we believe, is going to be 50 million euros pre-tax. Again, for good order, the starting base is the level of 938 million in 2012. If you do the math, and bearing any unforeseen major changes on the foreign exchange front with our earnings growth guidance, you will see that we're going to make it through the billion euro mark that originally we had only anticipated for 2014. So given the strong development in the interim, it looks that we will beat that target by 1 year. Talking about foreign exchange, as I said earlier, it seems the tide has turned, at least until yesterday in the vote in Italy. But regardless, I would expect that in contrast to 2012, we're going to have a little bit of headwind on the currency front. The way we stand right now, I would expect a 1 to 2% negative effect percentage-wise. Finally, as far as phasing is concerned over the course of 2013, there is really nothing extraordinary that I would point you to. There are various factors that apply in each and every quarter, but net-net, at the moment, I don't see anything extraordinary that I should point you to as far as the quarterly distribution of net income is concerned. That concludes my presentation. I think the key theme for both Mark and myself is multiple sources of earnings growth. And on that basis, we enter 2013 full of confidence. And now we're going to be happy to try and answer your questions. Thank you very much for now.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Stefan, for your presentations. We are going to start with the questions from the participants in the room first. Ingeborg.
Thank you. First question on the German hospital market. Could you comment on how you would see the attractiveness of that market without significant further privatization in light of some of the kind of negative news flow around privatization that's come out from Ruhr Klinikum? And the second question is on your assumption that the drug shortage situation normalizes. What exactly does normalization here mean for you? Does that mean that there will be no more drugs on the shortage list, or is it more the big drugs such as propofol that you're thinking about? Thank you.
Thanks, Ingeborg. And let me try and address both of those. I guess on hospital privatizations, the message I was trying to give is that we're cautiously optimistic when it comes to 2013 and beyond. As you look back, ever since 2005, when we purchased Helios, we did say that it's very hard to precisely predict the number per year. But clearly, you know, on a 2 or 3 year basis, we were never far off. And I think our estimate of privatizing about 150 million, 160 million euros of revenue per year, we made good on that, and in fact, we exceeded it. And so it's pretty hard to give you a number for 13, but there is ongoing activity. And unlike 2009, which was an election year and, of course, suffered from particular uncertainties because of the world financial crisis, we're not seeing that same burden now for 2013. And so I guess the safest thing to say is our perspectives on where privatization is headed seem to be different here. Ours is markedly more optimistic. We're not predicting a wave, but we're also not in the habit of one day predicting a wave, as happened, you know, from some other companies 2 or 3 years ago, and the next day predicting a knot. So basically, we believe that it's steady as she goes, and the case for privatization is not dead. And so with the combination of good organic growth and that privatization activity continuing, I think we have a good base strategy, and that makes Helios and makes the German market very attractive to us, no question. On the truck shortages, it's pretty much the same perspective that we were trying to describe as part of a Q3 conference call. And that is the shortage in 2012 really had two sources. One in particular for us was propofol, because simply that's a very important product for us. And we ended up with a sole supply situation, which even under a shortage is something that's a bit of an exception. And it is a product where we have a whole lot of value added from, you know, all the components to the finished product. And hence, we did say that that merited a very special status. And we did say in 2012 that that was responsible for about one-third of the truck shortage-related outperformance in North America that we've seen. That most likely now, sometime in the first quarter, is coming to an end based on what the truck shortage website at the FDA says. Having said that, as we scan market activity, we have not seen sizable shipments of propofol in the U.S. from other suppliers yet, and we're already 2 months down into the first quarter. But having said that, if we trust basically what's being announced there, you would assume that sometime in the first quarter, that situation is coming to an end as expected by us and as built into our models. There's a two-third component, and that is essentially the 80 other plus products that are in short supply. And on that one, we told you that it's a much more gradual picture. So this will be easing slowly throughout the quarters, according to our expectations here, in 2013 and possibly even into 14. So that two-thirds is ramping down much more slowly than the one-third that's attributable to a propofol. And so that picture is pretty much unchanged. If anything, it's a little stretched out from what we told you in Q3 because we're now 2 months into the first quarter and we're still pretty much in a sole supply situation for propofol.
Martin, please.
Martin Brunninger from Nomura. I have two questions. One on Helios. On your slide 20, out of your 31 matured hospitals, which means older than 5 years, 12 are below your target. What's the percentage of sales of that, and how improvable are those hospitals over time? And secondly, on Kabi, could you give us some idea or reiterate some of your numbers for 2013? What cross-selling you're expecting from Europe into the US? And also, you said your guidance for 2013 already includes the two plants, Kalyani and Grand Islands. So, what's your assumptions behind that in more detail, please? Thank you.
Let me try and take the second one first, and then Stefan can focus on the Helios slide. So, the assumption for the cross shipments to the U.S. is pretty much in line with what we told you at the Capital Market Day, and that is that sometime in 2013 we can start shipping product there, but that we will not likely reach a meaningful number in 2013 yet, and that really 2014 and 15 are going to be the years when you will see some upside from that. Now, keep in mind, even with that original number that we pointed to, the 50 to 70 million, given that Kabi has grown so much in the meantime, we're talking about, you know, 1 to 1.5 percentage points of growth here. So this is not a significant number, and it's going to be ramping up gradually. It's not that day one when you introduce the products, you'll be at that number. So in my opinion, it's a nice contributing factor when it comes to growth, but it's not a litmus test for growth overall. And I think that's the best way to see it. And hence, most of that guidance for 13 that we pointed to is really not benefiting from the U.S. shipping situation. In terms of the two plants, Kranada and Kalyani, I think we're giving you a pretty accurate earnings picture here, and we're trying to give you a frame for referencing the financial impact by fully baking it into our guidance. Beyond that and beyond what's on the slide, we don't have more financial detail on that as of now.
Martin, on Helios, I will refrain from giving you a precise revenue number, but I will say that much, that it is primarily the smaller hospitals that fall short of the EBITDA target. So it is less than your arithmetic average in terms of revenue that applies here. My second comment is that if you look at the average, which is already in each case fairly close, then there is not that much of a margin upside that can be captured by bringing these hospitals to their 15% target. My third comment, though, is that I'm not aware of a single hospital where we have given up on the 15% margin target. So there is clearly further EBITDA upside also with these hospitals.
Would you consider reviewing your portfolio and selling some of these assets to your competitors?
Martin, if we felt that the 15% target was not achievable, then potentially yes. In particular, if there was no other hospital up for privatization in the vicinity, so that we got had the chance of an extra boost for profitability. But as I just said, given that in each and every case we see the prospect of making the hurdle, no intention of doing that.
Let me just build on that and in all modesty ask you, if we can't fix it, who can?
Well, isn't there a question of clusters sometimes?
Pardon?
Isn't it a question of clusters, what you said in the past? So some other of your competitors may have hospitals in the vicinity. Where could some of your more remote hospitals make work and you can't?
Regional synergies are important, but I think we have pretty few outliers. And in that, you know, I think we're pretty confident, as Stefan said, that we can make that 15% target or better. I think it's also important to note that for that age group older than 5 years, if you compare that slide to last year, the profitability has continued to go up. So again, you know, we have a few clinics that missed the target, but overall that cohort is doing better, which is in line with some of the trends that we described to you as part of the Q3 conference call.
Next, Holger.
Holger Blum, Deutsche Bank. I just wanted to come back to the Gwent Island situation. First, on clarification, did you say the net effect is 50 million, 50, or 15?
I said up to 50.
Up to, but it's not a specific number really penciled into.
No, I said it's a double-digit issue. Yeah. We offset the Kalea valuation gain just because we view both of these issues as one-time in nature, and we think that is fair. And the net effect is up to 50 million euros.
And Kalea is how much of a gain?
Thank you, Holger. Next question.
Then maybe more qualitatively how the situation has evolved there. I was under the impression that you acted promptly on the warning letter. And how was the development? What has gone wrong in the corrective measures, and what could be the next step from here?
Okay, let me try and address that as far as I can. And I'd also want to make it very clear, we wanted to be as upfront and transparent about this as we can. But given that those of these situations are still under discussion with FDA, there's also a limit as to how much detail we can go into, and I hope everyone appreciates that. But I hope everyone also appreciates that we've done our best to describe the situation to you and also put a financial collar around it so that you have certainty going forward. Specifically with regards to the Grand Island situation, you're quite right, I'm pretty open, that we did not make as much progress in 2012 as we hoped we would. As I break it down, I think there were some issues that we were able to fix with better equipment, new CapEx. That was time critical because it had to be put in fast after the 2011 audit, given that every time you order equipment, there's a lead time, and then once you have the equipment, you need to use a shutdown to actually put it in place. So in all of those issues, we worked really fast because those were on the critical path. But I think on some of the softer issues that are related to procedures and processes, in fact, the ones that are cheaper to fix and even ironically easier to fix, given that this was a plant that worked flat out to meet the truck shortages, we were a little slow. So that's my best estimate of the situation. But again, I'd like to acknowledge we were not as fast as typically we want to be. Some of that had to do with the fact that, again, this plant was operating at near capacity to meet short demand in the U.S. Short supply and tight demand in the U.S. And we're now doing our best to really finish that homework, and we're totally dedicated and committed to satisfying FDA.
So you would say no risk that that might spill into 14. So whatever the charge you take in 13, then it's done and dusted. And
I think the size of the expense, that's pretty much defined. So whether a little more occurs in 13 and then a little in 14 or not is not important. I think the size is pretty much well defined. Whether this is an issue that will resolve inside 13 or whether it will spill into 14, that's pretty hard to predict at this point.
Okay. Then another question on Fenwal. Could you give us there some headline pro forma numbers for 12 for sales, EBITDA, and EBIT roughly? What Fenwal would have achieved as a standalone entity?
Holger, as I said, very much in line with the expectations that we had at the time when we announced the transaction and beyond what we had said at the time. And I think we alluded to the fact that the EBIT margin for the time being is going to be well below the Kabi average. But over and beyond that, there is not much to say. I think where we could have done a bit a crisper explanation at the time was with regard to the amortization charge. From the models that I've looked at, that doesn't seem to be fully reflected in many of the models I've seen, and therefore I think the depreciation or amortization charge, that may be something that you want to review also going forward.
Then a last question, over on Kabi, on the corporate cost line and R&D, which went up quite substantially by 60 million, now being more than 240 million. Could you maybe remind us about the reasons for that increase and the major cost items there, and whether that carries completely on into next year or helps you a little bit to smoothen the trend?
It does reflect more R&D spending. It also does reflect some projects that we did put in place. It also does reflect some provisioning over and above what I had alluded to when I commented on the margin in Europe. So there are quite a few things that I would describe as one-time in nature in this line. As I said earlier, we have a very high standard for what we do call one-time items. So if it weren't for the net of the Kalea book gain and the FDA charge that we do expect, and we're going to report that over the course of 2013 in this corporate line. If it weren't for that, I would expect the corporate EBIT, the negative corporate EBIT, to decrease in 2013.
Thank you.
Okay, as we are running out of time, Jerry, please open up the lines for the participants at the phone.
Very good. For the participants in the teleconference, we're now starting the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. The operator will announce your name when it's your turn to ask a question. In case you wish to cancel your question, please press star and two. The first question is from Mr. Tom Jones, Berenberg. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for taking my question. I just have one very general question, really, regarding capital allocation and how you're thinking about that going forward. Clearly, you've made some changes to your dividend, which gives you a little bit more flexibility with where you are capital-wise, tying that to earnings growth. Just given that your leverage ratio is coming down towards the bottom end of that corridor that you put on the slide, your debt financing costs are, you know, as cheap as they've ever been. You know, how you're thinking about what you might be doing with capital going forward. Is it a question of keeping your powder dry to see, you know, what happens with their own situation? Are there other areas of your business you think you could probably strengthen up with some larger scale M&A? Or perhaps would you even consider, you know, returning your stake in Fresenius Medical Care back to, you know, the levels that you enjoyed in the past, given that, you know, you more or less cover your finance costs just from the dividend on FMC?
Yeah, thanks for your question. This is Mark. I think the most important point here is that our 2.5 to 3 net debt to EBITDA corridor is no religion. It's a sweet spot, but we don't have to be in there. It's entirely self-imposed, and there is no hard and fast math behind it other than, you know, this, according to several recommendations, seems to be the area where our weighted average cost of capital gets minimized. So if in any one particular quarter or half year or even year we're getting close to those limits or under or over those limits, there's no real downside attached to that. And so I'd rather like to stay the course. We generally intend to stay non-investment grade. I think moving into investment grade does not pay off for us, as you can see from our low refinancing cost. We do want to retain flexibility going forward for acquisitions, not any one in particular, but across the board. And we do adjust now the dividend policy to be sure that our shareholders get a good share of the financial success that we generate. But so overall, I don't see the need for any drastic action. And as I look back, we've always had periods, either for the group or for Fresenius Medical Care, where we were getting close to some of these limits or, in some cases, even below the lower threshold of 2.5 for a few quarters, for a year. It doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, there's enough growth opportunity in that market left that sooner or later we'll find attractive investment opportunities to use and to bring us back right into that corridor.
And then just a quick follow-up question on one chunk of capital you've already deployed on Fenwell. Is there anything you can do with the asset base of that business to generate more growth over and above, you know, simply improving their existing business with the synergies that may exist within Kabi? Are there parallel areas you can use their infrastructure to expand your products business, or should we be thinking about the synergy and revenue potential from Fenwell just simply being, you know, a better performance of that business area as it stands?
I wouldn't exclude some sales opportunities, but by and large, this is a bottom-line opportunity to bring two leading transfusion equipment providers together and then shoulder some sometime costs, but then also get some pretty significant synergies going forward, which are recurring, and make it a much stronger business when it comes to margins than the individual components had been before. So that is the big picture. And yes, in some geographies, in some select product groups, there may be some add-on sales opportunities, but I think we made it clear when we purchased that business that transfusion is not going to be at the high growth end of our Kabi spectrum. It's a bedrock, it's a very stable grower. It's one of those businesses where no matter what medical technology will bring, transfusion equipment, transfusion technology will be around decades from now, no question about that. But it's not going to be one of those high growth opportunities.
Okay, fair enough. I'll jump back in the queue. Thanks very much.
Cherry, I think time-wise we can have one more question.
Very good. The last question is from Veronika Dubajova, Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Veronika Dubajova here from Goldman, and thank you for squeezing me in at the end. I have three questions, if I can, two of them on Kabi and one on Helios. On Kabi, Steph, I'm slightly surprised by your U.S. margin guidance for 2013. If I caught it correctly on the call, you said mid 30%. If I look at where the business has trended over the past 2 years, it's been decidedly higher than that. And even going back to 2010, you were at 34, 35%. And I would suspect, given that you have presumably slightly better mix than what you had before, you should be able to sustain a better margin excluding the Fenwal impact than that. So maybe if you can comment on that. My second question on Kabi relates to the remediation costs. Slightly surprised by how high the figure is, and I guess there were some new observations that the FDA made when they did the reinspection at Grand Island. Maybe you can walk us through what actually you have to remediate, because my understanding has been most of the work has been process-related, so I'm surprised to see the price tag that you've put out there on that. And my last question is for Helios. Given that you have a slightly better DRG inflator this year and that the business has decidedly trended towards the upper end of your organic growth rate guidance, I'm just surprised that you're still sticking with the 3 to 5%. Anything to read into that beyond you trying to be conservative? Thank you.
Veronika, I'll let Stefan answer the first and the third one, and then I'll focus on the second one, if that's okay. Mm-hmm.
Now, Veronika, as Mark said earlier, a key driver not only of sales growth but also of margins has been in particular the propofol situation in the U.S. And as we said, we do see that come to an end relatively soon. What we had said for quite a while is that we, in the earlier days after really initially acquiring APP, we saw a normalized margin level for that business in the low 30s. Given everything that has happened in the meantime, in particular the mix effects that you rightly allude to, we are comfortable targeting the mid-30s. Mid-30s for this year, given that we have about a quarter unaffected, may be a bit conservative, but that's how we are. The key effect for 2013 is in the U.S. is really going to be the first-time consolidation of Fenwal, where, as I said, taking that on board, that is going to reduce the margin in this region to the low 30s. As to your Helios question, you're right. We have a little bit more of a tailwind from the DRG inflator. On the other hand, never change a winning guidance. I think we fared well with a 3 to 5% in the past. Also in the past, we were tracking more towards or in the upper half of that range, and I wouldn't rule that out for this year either.
That's great. Thank you, Stefan.
Veronika, building on that, let me address your other question, and that's about remediation cost. And let me start by saying this is still pretty early days. Both of these audits concluded in January, and so we had to work with estimates here. And I'm building on what Stefan said earlier. We're cautious people, and we don't want to disappoint you. And hence, you know, if we're erring on some of these estimates on the cautious side, so be it. Having said that, the amount we quoted is for both plants, and we're not breaking it down as to which plant, but keep in mind that on Kalyani in particular, we have stopped production for now, and so with every day gone by, there's sales and EBIT lost at that plant, and we need to give ourselves some leeway as and when exactly we will start up, because as mentioned, when it comes to U.S. production, we only want to do that basically in close coordination with FDA. So if you factor everything in, like some of the interruption in manufacturing, consultants' cost, legal cost, some of the investment that needs to go in, some of the extra work that needs to go in. I think as of this point, it's a prudent estimate, and that's what we'd like to work on for both plans.
That's very clear. Thank you.
Okay, and with that, this ends the Fresenius meeting, and right in time, we restart at 3:15 with the Fresenius Medical Care presentation. Thank you for now, and see you
later. Thank you.
Thanks.